Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I am Amanda, and as always, I am joined by Justin and Randy. Unfortunately, our intrepid leader, Dave, caught some sort of virus, and he is unable to speak. Yeah. So, it's just the three of us.
He got the hep C.
Yeah, I was going to say, he licks his hands a lot. He's one of those kind of guys.
Should never touch your face during flu season.
Mm-mm.
Got to keep those germs far away.
Yeah.
From the nose and mouth.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that he's got a couple kids that are very active between sports and Boy Scouts and stuff.
If you don't want to get sick, don't have kids.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he's got... I saw a picture of him from over the weekend, and there was, like, a bazillion little Boy Scouts running around, and all I see is just germs everywhere when I look at a picture like that.
And fecal matter.
Yeah.
Oh, the humanity, indeed. Well, just be thankful that you guys live several hundreds, if not thousands, of miles away, so that you're safe. Yeah. You're also safe from that crazy measles outbreak that was supposedly started at Disneyland. Did you guys hear about that?
God,
you follow on that? That's crazy.
Yeah.
I have my shots.
Yeah, me too.
My immunization record is current.
I got vaccinated.
Yeah, I think most of us are cool to that regard, but oh, man.
My parents didn't subscribe to the Jenny McCarthy handbook of parenting.
Yeah, that's a thing where people don't get their kids shots. I don't understand.
And that's why we have measles outbreaks at Disneyland.
Oh, my God. And whooping cough. There's all
Seriously.
Kinds of shit.
Yeah. Measles was effectively eradicated from the United States in like 2000. And here we are 15 years later, and we're having a mini epidemic.
It's back, baby.
It's all Jenny McCarthy's fault?
Or we're blaming her because she's the public face of it.
She's the public face of measles.
Hippy dippy parents.
Yeah. Goddamn hippies.
Who don't believe in doctors.
Yeah. Western medicine.
Bunch Woo!
Yikes.
Getting all political right on top.
Speaking of politics, how about Star Wars?
How about those Star Wars?
Politics, trade disputes.
How do you feel about the Star Wars, Randy?
Oh, everybody knows I love me some Star Wars. There's a little bit of news regarding the spinoff. So originally, writer Gary Whitta was working on a draft of the first of the three Star Wars spinoff movies. And he amicably parted ways from the project a couple weeks ago after completing the first draft. So they've been kind of on the lookout for a new writer, and Godzilla director Gareth Edwards found somebody that is going to fit the bill, and it's somebody that's catching some people off guard. It's Chris Weitz. I don't know exactly how to pronounce his name, but we're so close, we're going to go on a first name basis. I'll call him Chris. He has a lot of credits under his belt. Twilight fans will recognize his name from having written New Moon, but he also was one of the directors of American Pie. He produced the entire franchise. He wrote such classics as The Golden Compass and that animated movie Ants, starring the voice of Woody Allen, and also The Nutty Professor 2, The Clumps.
Wow.
So we've got that to look forward to. With a roster like The Clumps and American Pie, I'm really curious to see what kind of Star Wars spinoff we're going to get. But nothing has come out contradicting the rumors that we first heard that it could be a heist film, which I'm still pulling for because I think it would be pretty much the most badass thing ever to have a whole team of bounty hunters teaming up against the odds to steal the Death Star plans.
I think there'll be like a dinner table scene with a bunch of Hutts, like the Clumps. I think that would be funny. I mean, it'd be terrible and it would not be good, but
right,
it would be an interesting nod to.
But it would make you laugh.
Yes.
Yeah, let's see how well, because Star Wars, it's a little bit of a genre bending movie. Got the space western kind of thing, or space opera, depending how you want to look at it, kind of thing going on. Maybe it's about time we had a proper sci-fi comedy. I mean, has there been a good one since Spaceballs?
Guardians.
No. All right. I'll.
People laugh. Damn it.
No, I agree. It was kind of a comedy. I'll give you that. But yeah, I don't think they're going for a comedic route for this movie. But I think it definitely could lend itself to some tongue-in-cheek humor, a la Ocean's 11, which is still, that's what I want. I want my Star Wars Ocean's 11 with freaking bounty hunters.
That could be fun.
Make me a happy man, Chris.
I just don't want it to turn into like a cat and mouse. I don't tend to enjoy those too much.
But yeah.
In space.
Well, and the cat and mouse, I mean, when I think of that, I think of it being basically a lower budget thing. If it's a bunch of hunting and searching around and very small personal hunting down one person or something that isn't involved in a larger scale, you know, with the world or the galaxy hanging in the balance, if it's a very small personal tale, that to me reeks of lower budget, lower production values, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But they have all the resources in the world to make this thing epic and badass, so why wouldn't they take advantage of it? So I think it's gonna, and it's his first standalone movie. It's kind of a, it's a groundbreaking thing. It is the first theatrically released Star Wars movie that isn't part of a trilogy. And I'm not counting the Clone Wars animated one that was released theatrically. That was pretty much just to promote the CGI animated TV show. It wasn't necessarily meant to be a theatrical movie. This is going to be the first Star Wars theatrically released movie that isn't part of a Skywalker trilogy here. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's big shoes to fill, so...
Yeah, I don't think this guy would be my first, second, third, or even 50th choice. So I'm kind of curious to see how this plays out.
Well, he's got, I mean, are you talking the writer or director of
right.
the project?
Right.
And he's got range. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I like America Pie.
Yeah.
At least the first one. Well, I like the second one, too, I guess, now that I think about it. But I like Golden Compass, I guess. Kind of.
Yeah. You know, he also wrote the screenplay for Cinderella.
Well, cool. When can we expect this movie?
You know, we can expect this movie, I believe, holiday season of 2016.
Oh, shit.
A damn year after The Force Awakens.
Man.
So, and they still have a lot of shit to figure out before we get there, considering it's not even done being written.
Right.
And we're less than 2 years away from the movie. And I know that sounds like a long time, but... People, you have to realize it takes so long making a special effects film.
A lot of puppets,
yeah. A lot of Muppets and clay, see?
Yeah.
A lot of felt.
That's how they do. Anyway.
That's how they did. And it worked in our day, damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, either way, I'm curious to see what happens with it. You know, I'm not, because it is a spinoff trilogy or a spinoff movie, I'm not as necessarily emotionally intertwined in it as I am with all the ones that are dealing with our dear old favorite cast. So I would be happy to see them take some risks with it and have it be a little bit of a departure from the feel and the tone of the other Star Wars movies, but not too drastic. Still got to feel like Star Wars.
Hmm. There you go.
So keep your damn kaijus out of this. No Godzilla.
Is that what they're called?
In this movie.
The giant monsters?
The giant monsters. That's from Pacific Rim. I think that's just a generic Japanese word for giant monster. I could be wrong and completely racially insensitive when I say that, but I've heard it referred to as... It's something not just pertaining to Pacific Rim.
I see.
Do you guys remember that from Pacific Rim?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Yeah. Big damn monster.
I was giving
monster.
You shit.
All right.
Woo! Joss Whedon.
Oh, this guy. He's
that
a bit of a
guy.
He's a bit of a quitter, if you ask me.
What a quitter.
Oh,
he does two Avengers movies, and then he's like, oh, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore.
No, what a lazy bones. last October, there was a rumor that perhaps Joe and Anthony Russo were in talks to direct Avengers 3 and 4, which obviously are now called Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and 2. But earlier on GeekLegacy.com, Mr. David Edmondson, who wasn't too sick to post, threw this nice little bit that Joss Whedon had told Empire via CBM regarding the future of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And this is Mr. Whedon talking. I couldn't imagine doing this again. It's enormously hard, and it'd be, by then, a good 5 years since I created anything that was completely my own. So it's very doubtful that I'd take on the two-part Infinity movie that would eat up the next 4 years of my life.
Hearing it from that point of view, though, makes a lot of sense, because, you know, he's a guy that has his own stories to tell. And if he's locked in with Disney and Marvel, he can't really express his own creative freedom, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. He says he obviously still wants to be a part of the Marvel Universe and that he loves these guys, but it ain't easy. And, you know, maybe he'll just kind of sit on the sidelines, produce them or something.
I think it's a cry for help. Yeah. I think what it is he's like, look, I don't want to walk away from the franchise, but I will. But hey, how about you give me a year or two off and a shitload of money? I'll go make another movie, then I'll come back and I'll help you guys out.
Right. Well, I think Nolan said something along the same lines with Batman, too. Because he had dedicated nearly a decade of his life to making Batman movies.
Yeah. Albeit they were pretty good Batman movies.
Yeah, but it's just exhausting.
Yeah. But look at it this way. I mean, if you're going to leave behind a cinematic legacy, they're definitely worse legacies you could have left behind.
Right. Like Firefly. What a piece of shit that is.
It still has its fans.
I know. I'm kidding.
And they're rabid, too.
Calm down, you brown coats. Is that what you guys call yourselves? Brown coats?
That is, yes, that is what we call ourselves. Okay. I lump myself in with it because I am a fan.
I know you are. Me too. I like Serenity. I like Serenity more than any episode of Firefly.
I like... If I ever have the time to do it, and I've done it once, and I enjoyed the hell out of it immensely, watching the entire run of the series and then the movie, just like in one sitting, in one day.
Oh.
And it's a commitment, and it's kind of a all day thing, but it's fun. It's kind of like it's just like those people who will sit down and watch like all the extended versions of Lord of the Rings back to back, or people who will sit there and watch all six Star Wars movies back to back.
Right.
Every once in a while. If you're a deeply devoted fan, you'll sit down and just have like a marathon.
Well, there you go.
And that is a good series to have a marathon with. Because it's fun. It's lighthearted. It's a good time.
Good time. Good time for all. With or without clothes on.
Preferably without.
Just wearing the brown coat so you can flash people as they walk by.
Oh, yeah. And my gun belt.
There you go. And then in other related comic book news, we also have more rumblings of a live-action X-Men TV show. Excuse me. A live-action X-Men TV show that's in early in development. How about that? Are you guys ready for more X-Men? Do you think this is possible? Do you think that Fox, 20th Century Fox, will be able to give Marvel the stroke job that is required to get the okay to make an X-Men TV show? And if they do, coming off of shows like S.H.I.E.L.D. and freaking Gotham, do you think it can work?
Well, is it going to follow like random X-Men characters, or is it going to involve...
Yeah, are they going to be recasting TV versions of everybody?
No one knows. It's still early developments. But see, here's the thing. Because when you have a show like Arrow or The Flash, those work well because it's the main guy. It's the star of the show.
We don't want the B-Squad.
Right. Who wants that? That's where it gets interesting. And I honestly doubt that they would... I mean, I guess I don't really know. Let's just pretend that they decided to make a whole new X-Men cast with characters that we know and love. That's gonna be a tall order, man,
because everybody's going to be compared to their cinematic counterparts. I mean, as it is, we've already got two versions of many of the X-Men cast members from the old cast. Not old physically, but yeah, I guess technically as well, but then the younger cast as well for next class. Mm-hmm. But Yeah, and then it goes back to the whole thing and that we've debated endlessly, talking about, well, does it hurt or help the cinematic universe to have a different actor portraying them on TV versus the movies that are running concurrently? You know, so we're going to find ourselves in a very similar situation if they do go with the core main characters that we're used to. But to go back to what you were saying, is there any way that Fox is ever going to wrangle the rights to do that away from Marvel? I think a trade could be in order. Mm-hmm. Give Marvel Spider-Man.
That's the difference. That's Sony though. Sony.
Oh, that
Spider-Man.
Is Sony. It's not Fox.
Yeah, yeah. Fox owns X-Men and Fantastic Four.
Well, strike that from the record. Shitload of money.
If they would just all get together and have this cornucopia of superheroes, it would be amazing. Yeah. But I don't know. It seems like it's in everyone's benefit, but. This is obviously very early talks, and they don't even think that they could have something ready for a 2016-2017 season. So
it's definitely.
So why are they even talking about it?
Because it's this Tinseltown.
People are gonna be so sick of superheroes.
People talk in this town. They hope not, because they still got like 30 more movies that are gonna come out between now and 2020. Stupid.
I know. It's just the superhero genre of filmmaking is just a runaway train at this point, and there's nothing anybody can do. Mm-mm. Just let it run its course.
That's ridiculous. And then people are going to be upset. Like, oh, it's too much. Can't handle it. And we'll be like, I done told you so.
Oh, well. I done told you.
I know. Oh, man. I got to love our mad dog, Tanner. You know what, though? Like, I really was a sucker for the 90s X-Men cartoon. It is one of my favorites. Sure. Yeah. Love it to death. And I'd be cool with them just showing that again on TV. That's all I need.
Just play reruns.
Yeah, that's better than half the shit that's out there anyway.
I don't know why more TV networks don't do that.
Yeah, just bring back old shows.
Yeah. And
Nick at Night.
Oh, I remember Nick at Night.
I remember when it was shows like Dick Van Dyke and I Love Lucy. Now it's shit that was on when I was a kid. It pisses me off. That was like Fresh Prince or some bullshit.
Makes you feel all old. God damn it.
That ain't right. Anyway, that's all I got.
And I'm spent.
Yeah, big time. What about you, Amanda?
Well, the latest Mission Impossible is coming out soon.
What?
Yeah, oh, isn't that crazy?
It's crazy. I thought it was coming out to Christmas.
They've moved it forward because it's just so awesome. And they're so excited.
And they didn't want to go head-to-head with Star Wars.
Probably.
The real
reason. I wasn't going to say anything, but... it's opening on July 31st instead of over the holidays, and it'll be pretty much the same cast as the last movie. Tom Cruise, Simon Pegg, Jeremy Renner, Ving Rhames, and then they're bringing in Alec Baldwin, interestingly enough.
That's fun.
But I liked the last Mission Impossible. I thought it was fun.
That reminds me. I still haven't seen the last one. I gotta get on that.
I think it's on like Netflix or something.
I think it is. Yeah, it's been in my queue.
Was Ghost Protocol the last one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one. He goes to like Dubai and he climbs that ridiculous skyscraper that's touching space. And he's like walking on the windows, Randy, with like suction cups.
I like the sound of that.
It's pretty amazing. It's scary. I was very nervous. He does his own stunts.
Okay, so it's not going to be coming out during the holidays anymore. Instead, July. So what else is it going to be coming up against? So if it's avoiding going up face-to-face against Star Wars, coming out July 31st, what's that going to put it up against now? Isn't Terminator coming out that month? That's the beginning of July, so I guess there's a little bit of time in between. But you got Ant-Man... You got
Jurassic World.
You got the Point Break remake coming out the same day, July 31st.
I thought that shit was canceled. That's so much. That shows what I know. Point Break is one of my all-time favorite movies, and I am just insulted that they're remaking this movie.
Patrick Swayze is spinning in his grave right now.
Sounds terrible. What else you got, Amanda?
It was announced today that Emma Watson will be playing the role of Belle in Beauty and the Beast, a live-action version. I guess Disney is doubling down, and is just going to make live-action versions of all its more popular animated movies.
It's kind of like going back to the well. They're like, well, we've got all these popular animated properties that are guaranteed sure things, so let's just put get a decent cast, make a live action version of it, and make a shit ton of money.
And
I mean, it's a good business model if it works.
I don't like too many live action Disney movies, Randy.
Well, I don't know. It depends. I mean, are we talking about like live action interpretations of animated classics, or are we talking like Old Yeller?
Oh my God. Okay. So some of those old ones, my God. Okay. Old Yeller, I will admit, I enjoy. Swiss Family Robinson, the little boy that I remember loved the idea of that movie, and going to Disneyland and playing in a little house. That was a lot of fun, right?
I used to love that movie growing up.
Okay, so that's about it from the old movies. I never liked that Nutty Professor. I never liked Mary Poppins, any of that shit. Pete's Dragon, holy shit. I will kill somebody if I had to watch that movie. I hate it so much.
Yeah, you know, I've never seen Pete's Dragon all the way through. I haven't made it all the way through.
It's awful.
Yeah, not a big fan.
It's pretty much the worst movie ever made. And they're singing in this? Is that what you're telling me? She's going to sing?
Yep. She ended her Facebook post announcing her new role with the time to start some singing lessons.
Oh, shit.
So we don't even know if she can sing. Do we know if she's sung in any of her previous roles?
Not that I know of.
This could be some uncharted waters for her, which is cool. I mean, I'm all about people expanding their horizons, and I think she's awesome, so more power to her. But I'm just not a big fan of musicals, personally. So I can guarantee I will not be seeing this movie in the theater. But hey, if it hits Netflix, why not? Of course, I'll also go on the record as saying that I haven't seen the animated Beauty and the Beast since the 90s either. So, you know, that's just really not in my wheelhouse. I mean, I like the story. I like the movie overall, and I do enjoy animated Disney movies. But when I sit down with the intention of watching something, it's not high on my list. You know, it's just like I don't go through the pantheon of, oh, let's go through all these Disney musicals just to, I don't know. It's just not my thing.
I'm with you.
I enjoy it, but I don't go out of my way to watch it.
Well, and really, I don't know. Like, we already have the cartoon.
Right.
And it was really good. Like, it's a classic.
I wonder if they'll, like, do a reinterpretation like they did with Maleficent.
What's with all the fucking Disney movies now? There was that Into the Woods. There was a new Cinderella. Now a new Beauty and the Beast. Maleficent, just this last year. That's... I'm sorry.
Snow White and the Huntsman, was that Disney technically?
Yeah, but oh no, I don't know. I don't think so.
I think it's Snow White. I think of Disney.
Yeah, I think it's just one of them grim tales that anybody can write about.
Speaking of Disney movies, do you have a list for us, Randy?
I do, and that's an excellent segue. Considering you know exactly what my list is about, I'm figuring since we're talking about live action Disney movies, I would go trolling on IMDb and check out the ratings and find the top 10 live-action Disney movies. And these are top 10 as in ratings on IMDb. So, you know, you can go on the Internet Movie Database and rate a movie between 1 and 10 stars. And I am going to give you... There's some of them on here that are really obscure, so I'm going to kind of skip over those. I'm going to give you the top 10 ones that you've probably actually heard of, and I'll even let you know what their star rating was. Number 1 on the list... And I'm not really surprised about this because it is a fantastic movie. Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl has an 8.1 rating. And that is the first of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. And it was a complete unsuspected success. Nobody thought it was going to be one of those things that would spawn several sequels.
Everyone laughed and thought, how can you make a movie about a ride?
Seriously. Especially a ride that doesn't really tell any kind of coherent story. But boom, there it is. And you know, funny thing too, within a year, maybe two afterwards, I don't remember exactly when it came out, but the Haunted Mansion movie with Eddie Murphy, and I absolutely love Eddie Murphy, and I know he's done some really crappy movies in the last 10 or 15 years. I can't think of anything that's been really truly good since Bowfinger. I think that was like 1998. But that movie just fell flat, Haunted Mansion. And that seems like it would have more of an actual story than Pirates of the Caribbean. But it was just a hell of a movie, and it has spawned a pretty darn decent series overall. And they're going to keep cranking those things out. Anyway, next on our list, Mary Poppins with a 7.8 rating. I find it kind of interesting that Mary Poppins was rated under Pirates of the Caribbean, because Mary Poppins was such a classic for me growing up. And pretty much I think a lot of people our age.
Hate it.
Really?
Hate it.
Oh, is it the singing?
It's a lot of singing.
Yeah, you know, I haven't watched it probably since I was a kid, so maybe I would look at it differently now.
And there's animation mixed in with it?
Yeah.
I don't like that. Unless it's
terrible Cockney accent.
You like Roger Rabbit.
I know, but at the same time, Mr. Van Dyke, it is done way differently and looks 100 times better.
Well, it was also made 23 years later.
I'm aware of that. I'm just telling you. I hate the way it looks in Mary Poppins.
Roger Rabbit never would have been able to exist without Mary Poppins paving the way for an unholy union of animation and live action.
Fuck her with her umbrella. I could care less.
Fuck her with her umbrella and fly away with it.
Yes.
All right. Next on our list, Remember the Titans.
I like that movie.
7.7 on the list. That came out 15 years ago.
We were just talking about that movie, and I wanted them to either rewrite history or just end it before the bad accident. I like happy endings.
Yeah. Yeah, there are some movies that just don't lend themselves to happy endings, though.
Right, I know, but I like happy endings. That's all I'm interested in.
That's why he goes to that massage place.
Exactly.
Ooh, now we're talking. But see, I can do that my god dang self. I don't need to, pay for that shit.
Yeah, seriously. Come on. And for like, and
I'd probably like do a better job.
Like, better job and a much quicker job at that. So I was like, why am I going to go somewhere, pay for something that I can just do for like, bang it out in 5 minutes and then just move on to the next thing?
Right. Right.
Waste of time and resources.
I agree.
All right. Next on our list is your favorite movie, Who Framed Roger Rabbit? 1988, registering a 7.7 on the star meter.
Now we're talking.
Woo.
Loving it. This one's fun. 1992's The Muppet Christmas Carol, coming in at 7.7.
I fucking hate all Muppet movies. True story. I can't stand them. I hate Muppets. Not a fan.
Next on our list is 2004's Miracle, going back to the sports movies.
Ooh. I like that one, the hockey one, with Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'll bite. I like that one. I didn't realize that you're right. I didn't realize how many movies I actually like that were live action Disney.
Okay, here's another one, and you may not have even known that it was, known that it was Disney. The Greatest Game Ever Played, 2005.
Ugh. The golf one, right?
Yeah.
With Shy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pass.
Directed by Bill Paxton, your buddy.
I do like Bill Paxton.
I didn't know he directed that movie. That's wild.
I didn't either.
Well, that's cool. It's got a 7.5 stars. Now, this next one blew me away. 1946's Song of the South. Rated 7.4 stars, which spawned such lovely rides as Splash Mountain, with lots of fun music that'll get stuck in your head. But it's funny because it is impossible to get an officially licensed copy of this unless you go back to like old VHS tapes from the late 70s, early 80s from Disney. in those big old plastic clamshells we were talking about earlier. But yeah, this is one of those movies that Disney has more or less disavowed because it is not racially
super
sensitive
racist
in any way. Yeah, so I don't know, man. I remember seeing it when I was a kid. My public library down the street used to play a bunch of movies on the weekend. And they weren't like first-run movies that were in the theater, but it was a lot of animated Disney movies that had been out for a while, and maybe some of them were classics, but they had a thing where they would do it every weekend or almost every weekend. And that was where I remember having seen Song of the South, and that's the only time I've ever seen it in my life. Mm-hmm. Since then, I've come across bootleg DVDs of it at various different like conventions and collector shows, that sort of thing. And I've always been tempted, but I never actually pulled the trigger and picked one up.
And there's all sorts of like nameless characters that you would recognize as part of the Disney family.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. Like that big old dopey bear.
Yeah.
Kind of looks like a country bear, hillbilly type dude. That hobo rabbit. I don't know.
Rare Rabbit. But, I mean, they're all characters. If you're familiar with the Disney theme parks mm-hmm. and have been on the Splash Mountain ride, they're all characters from that because that ride is basically a spinoff
right.
of Song of the South movie, which, when you think about it, is amazing because that ride opened in the 80s, well after people had kind of already
Not
started
a long
to realize.
Time after.
Well, it was in the time period where Disney realized, oh, we better not show this movie around much. So it's like, let's take these great characters and put a positive spin on them. So we'll do this silly ride where everybody gets wet and there's no talks of racial insensitivity or anything. So I don't know. I could be completely talking out of my ass because it's been so long since I've seen that movie. I don't know exactly what the premise is or how the quote unquote so-called racism is treated in that movie. It's just, I think it's more kind of portraying
Well, I feel like I remember like a rich white family with little kids, and then there's like sort of a nanny, a black woman that is a nanny, and then like an old black dude.
Yeah, like telling stories, that kind
of
thing. But yeah, I don't know what time period it's set in, if it's like set during slavery or something like that.
I think it's like early turn of the century.
Very well, maybe. I don't know.
I don't either. It's like you. I saw it when I was a kid when Disney used to pump this shit back out in the movie theaters.
Yeah, yeah. Well, moving right along. With 7.3 stars, we have Old Yeller, 1957. We were just talking about that. I can't watch that movie. It depresses the shit out of me.
Yeah, it's sad.
I just can't do it. But it's got the kid from Swiss Family Robinson in it, which I enjoyed watching as a kid.
Both of them, right?
Yeah, both of them, yeah. You're right.
I think they're in fucking Shaggy Dog together. I don't know. There's something else together.
They used a lot of the same kids, too. And it's really funny because some of those old Disney movies have a really young Kurt Russell in them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of fun to see, too. So, rounding out what I believe is the top 10 here is yet another Pirates of the Caribbean movie, and it's Dead Man's Chest, which I want to say was the second movie. It's rated 7.3 stars.
Really?
Yeah. And it's funny, too, because if you were to kind of take a look at this, like the top 25 movies, I think all four of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies rank in here. And this isn't based on anything other than the star ratings that people have given it on IMDb. So take that with a grain of salt. But it is, instead of one blogger making a list and me quoting it, this is actually the voice of the public that actually uses IMDb and rates movies. So it's a little bit more objective than some of the other lists we've brought you. So it's just a little interesting thing.
Very nice.
Live action Disney movies. Take them or leave them. Now, you know, in a few years' time, we're going to be able to have a top 10 list of the top live-action Disney movies that are remade from animated classics, because if they're going to keep churning them out one or two every year, we're going to reach the 10 point real fast.
Yeah. Is there one that you can think of that you would like to see? Amanda, I know you said Aladdin.
Aladdin!
Yeah.
A non-racist Aladdin. If that's possible.
Maybe.
You know, that is a darn fine question, and I'm sure I could think of a better one if I put any real thought into it, but the first thing that comes to mind, I'm a real big fan of the animated Hunchback of Notre Dame, so I wouldn't mind seeing
that's a good one.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing the live-action version of that.
Yeah, they probably won't make a live action version of Aladdin because they'd have to cast brown people.
Yeah, oh, that won't happen. Yeah, you're right.
What, a movie not starring white people? No, thank you, says Disney.
Yes. Yeah, let's see Lion King.
I know. Let's have a live action Lion King before we do Aladdin.
Yeah. Fun stuff.
Yeah. Woo. I guess that's it. Do you guys have anything else that you want to...
I don't think so.
Bring up real quick?
I would like to say that I listened to my very first episode of the Pixelated podcast just this past week.
Did you really?
I did. And, you know, because you guys have given me a hard time about it before, but I kept saying, I'm not a podcast guy. I'm not a podcast guy. I don't listen to podcasts. But, I sit in so goddamn much traffic on my way to and from work, and radio kind of sucks. So I finally caved, and I started listening to all these Star Wars podcasts, and I mentioned it in one of our previous shows. I was listening to this Star Wars Collectors one, and then I was like, you know, I'm neglecting these podcasts that have been sitting right here under my nose for years now. I need to listen to the other Geek Legacy podcasts. So I gave the Pixelated podcast a try. My very first episode I listened to was Don't Touch My Prosties. the name of the episode. I saw that. I'm like, oh, I have to listen to this episode. And it wasn't until like the last 5 minutes Justin says it. And I was sitting there giggling like a schoolgirl sitting there in traffic on my way to work going, yeah. But it was a good time. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And it's cool because since we don't talk about video games much in this podcast anymore, since you guys have split off to do the Pixelated podcast, I don't feel like I get my weekly dose of video game news. And because I've been so busy working on the movie over the last year, I really haven't played any games. So it was kind of refreshing to hear about what's going on, what's coming out, what people are talking about. And it just kind of made me feel like I was in the know where otherwise I was completely uninformed. So I think it's a great resource and it's really cool. So I'm going to keep listening to you guys. And yeah, you just got yourself another subscriber. It just took me a couple years to get on the bandwagon.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Van Dyke. I appreciate it.
That's great. I wholeheartedly recommend it to anybody that listens to this podcast.
Yeah. And yeah. Of course, the Prosties is in reference to Grand Theft Auto.
Right.
We play a lot of GTA in our time off, and Steven started a Geek Legacy crew. So anybody that wants to join can join the Geek Legacy crew in GTA Online. The only rule is you don't touch my Prosties.
Because they're clean.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah, that's right.
Keeps them clean.
Right, right. I don't want your digital STDs all over my shit. Oh, my God. That game is too much. I love the shit out of it. I've been up, because I don't get to play games during the day, so I've been playing them all night. And I think, like, the last, like, four nights, I've been going to bed at, like, 4:30 in the morning just playing that stupid game.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's killing me.
As long as you're having fun.
I need a multivitamin. Anyway. Oh, I was a guest on the Electric Fan Cave last week. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I got to dispute with our evil nemesis.
Now, that is a video podcast, is it not?
It's both. They shoot it a video version, and then there's an audio only on iTunes and whatever your favorite podcasting app is. You know, you're more than welcome to get an audio version, which I would probably prefer since I am not a good looking man. So you don't have to break your screen or cut out your eyes while you're watching it. Or you can check it out on YouTube. I think their YouTube channel is The Electric Feast.
Oh, fun.
So check it out.
So there you go. Yeah. Listen to Pixelated Podcast. Listen to Comic Corner with Tyler and Jeff. And check out Justin on the Electric Fan Cave from last week. And as always, thanks very much to our good friends Tony Tolato at Sci-Fi Talk and Tim Byers at The Full Bleed. We couldn't do as much news and great stuff without them. Check us out at geeklegacy.com and at Geek Legacy on Twitter. Thanks, guys. See you next week.